97.7 The River, classic rock for the North Bay. The author is Jesse Fink. Jesse, thank you for joining us on the air on the river today.
Great to be here, Lobson.
I turned quite quickly to some pages, which of course were indexed in the back, that mentioned things that I'm quite familiar with their history. And you mentioned Bon showing up at a fan meet and greet, the Traveling Rock and Roll Circus, organized by radio station KSJO in San Jose, the late lamented, I might add. And it was ahead of AC/DC's July 21st appearance at Oakland's Day on the Green. Do you have these photographs that Bill Kay took of Bon signing autographs?
Yeah, I've got two of them in the book, and there's actually a photograph of a woman that Bon was with that I haven't been able to identify. So if anyone can pick up the book and have a look at that photograph, tell me who she is, I'd love to know.
Here on the river in Santa Rosa, we have a great fondness, of course, for AC/DC. And yes, I was at that Oakland Day on the Green, and the Traveling Rock and Roll Circus was something we did going from town to town with a flatbed truck, jugglers, balloons, all the DJs, the station van, a Rolls-Royce limo, and we'd put on a show. And we didn't have permits, and then when the cops would show up and wherever, whether it was San Mateo or Monterey or San Leandro or anywhere around the bay that we were hitting, the cops would show up and we would just go, oh, we were just leaving. We're done. We never had a permit. And we never got busted either. One of the things you mentioned, and I don't know if you have the tape of it, but I digitized KSJO's Sheila Renee, backstage with Sheila Renee, her shows, her interviews. And I do have that.
Yeah, I think that's referenced in the book, actually. Yeah.
Yes, it is referenced on page 213. 212 is where you mentioned the Rock and Roll Circus, and you mentioned interviewed by Sheila Renee, and also a late great person, and she was one of our staff and a confidant to Bill Graham and his right-hand man, Zahn Artman. And Sheila is the only person I know that had a all-access, all-shows pass from Bill Graham. So...
Wow.
Yeah, she was always there, loved hard rock, and AC/DC, the interview, I do have that. I digitized it for the Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, I mean, any of those interviews that Bon did are just gold nuggets, really. I mean, finding old audio of Bon is not easy. So it's a very valuable thing to any rock historian to have interviews like Sheila's.
Well, you have a quote from the interview here. We're just getting to the stage where we're making money. We're doing a lot of big shows. It's really exciting getting out, like, through the crowds. Because she said, would you go back to the clubs? Because the first place they played was Bill Graham's old Waldorf in San Francisco when they first hit the Bay Area. And then they played 2 days on the Green in the same summer, right the following year. So why go back to the clubs, he said, Bon Scott speaking here. If you can turn 20,000 people on, like today, 80,000 people, it's more like 50 or 60. Clubs have got 1,000. It takes 80 times that amount of shows to turn that amount of people on. So give us some big shows. And Angus said he liked the big venues, but he's getting old. He interrupted in the interview. So apparently you've heard a part of it.
Yeah, yeah. And then Angus actually says he's got his coffin ordered.
I loved hanging out with them. I got to interview when I was doing the heavy metal station in L.A., KNAC, which is, you know, gone on to other things. No longer a signal. I was their first morning man, and naturally, since I was already into AC/DC, that was fine for me. I didn't even need coffee to wake up in the morning. All I had to do was turn the volume up. We're speaking with Jesse Fink, the author of two books about AC/DC. The previous one, The Youngs, The Brothers Who Built AC/DC, and the new one, Bon, The Last Highway. It's the untold story of Bon Scott and AC/DC's Back in Black. If you're just joining us in the first segment, you brought up the fact that if you listen to the writing and you, did you say forensically take it apart, that it's, she shook me all night long. Bond should have gotten the writer's credit as he did, but his notebooks disappeared, so we don't have any reference point.
Yeah, I mean, all we have is the claim of Silver Smith, who was really the most significant woman in Bond's life, that she saw the line, "She told me to come, but I was already there," in one of Bond's letters back in 1976. But unfortunately, all of Silver's letters from Bond, there were about over 400 of them, were all lost many years ago.
Well, maybe they'll turn up.
Very valuable now.
Maybe they'll turn up. So in Oakland that day on the green that we talked about, the lineup was Ted Nugent, Aerosmith, Mahogany Rush, AC/DC, and Saint Paradise. I don't remember Saint Paradise at all, but maybe for good reason, because I do remember that show. AC/DC took it over, basically. I forgot Ted Nugent and Aerosmith and Rush's sets, because it was amazing. I think that's the one where they went into the crowd. Bond was performing without a shirt on, and they went into the crowd. He put Angus on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And
And there are some fantastic photos of that too, which are some of the most iconic sort of photos of the band.
What do you take as your favorite moment and I know it's always hard to go down to a favorite, but what is your favorite moment of being around AC/DC, and your favorite part of the book, the thing that you felt proudest of putting in the book, Bond, the Last Highway?
I think redressing. You know, decades of neglect and scorn of Silver Smith, who died at the end of last year. But I mean, she had put up with years of being abused for sort of allowing Bond to die in London. As I explain in the book, you know, she was someone that Bond had reached out to on his last night, and she had chosen not to go out with him, but she had received phone calls from the man that Bond was with, Alastair Kinnear, who was asking for her help, and she didn't really do anything beyond just take the call and sort of suggest that sort of Alastair put a blanket on him and leave him in the car. And for that reason, she has copped some terrible abuse over the years. But, you know, I think the reality is that Silver really wasn't responsible for what happened to Bond. Bond made his own decisions. He was an adult. He knew the risks. And ultimately, he paid the price. So I guess it was a real privilege for me to be able not only just to contact her, because she was a recluse and she was very difficult to find, but to actually have months of conversations with her before she passed away. And the things that she said to me really were, I guess, the bedrock of the book, which is the human side of Bond, and the side of Bond that we don't know from the media interviews and the video clips on YouTube. It's the man, and the man that comes through in these pages is extremely different to, I guess, the cartoon Bond we're all familiar with.
We got to know him in the Bay Area as the real deal. When he showed up at our traveling rock and roll circus and just hung out with the people, which is, I'm very thankful that that's in the book, because it's part of my personal history, and I got to see him and converse with him like so many people. I think it was a Pete Townsend quote about Jimi Hendrix, which applies to, you know, they're calling now on Newsweek, the cover of Newsweek, they're calling Tom Petty a rock icon. And someone said that about Jimi Hendrix to Pete Townsend of The Who, and he said, "Well, they're your icons, but these were my friends." And so, you know,
there's a great line in the book. There's a guy called David Owen, who was a guitarist for this Miami band, Critical Mass. And he said, so when Bond passed away, it's like he had a family of 100,000 people that were in shock. I think that's really kind of a beautiful quote about it, mm-hmm. you know, what Bond meant to so many people, you know, not just his bandmates, but people that he met on the road, girlfriends, people from the record company. He just made friends with everyone.